Meimasai Korin Ishma Arvin. From what time, meaning what's the earliest time? May Amosai, what's the earliest time that we could read Shema at night? Misha, from the moment Shakonim Nichnosim Lechel Betrumosam. From the time that the Kohanim could enter in to eat their truma. So you remember we were talking about the case of a Kohen who became Tameh. And you'll see that on the second line of Rashi. Now, where is Rashi? Last week I got the impression not everyone was able to find the Rashi. So keep in mind that on the front page, Rashi's on the right side. On the back page, Rashi's always going to be on the left side. Now, the easy way of knowing how to do that is because if you're looking at Tosfos, you'll always see that Tosfos has paragraphs with a bold introduction. So if you're looking at that side, then you know you're looking at Tosfos. Rashi came before Tosfos historically, and Tosfos builds on Rashi.
But Rabbi, they're both in bold. They both begin in bold, no?
Well, the Rashi's bold is like very small pieces. You see, it's like sort of... like, if you look at how many bolds there are on Rashi, you'll probably find on an average page 20 or 30. If you look at Tosfos, on an average page, you'll probably find 2 or 3.
This
is unusual because the Tosfos here, there are a lot of very short Tosfos on the bottom of the page. That's very atypical. Okay. Usually, a Tosfos takes up half the page. So, but just if you remember this rule of thought, of thumb, or maybe you want to write it down, Rashi on the front page that's looking at you, you know, that's always Rashi's on the right side. Then if you turn for a moment to the other page, right, Sam, so turn over your page, you'll see that Rashi all of a sudden jumps onto the... Just one second. Should be on the left side.
Yeah,
this is going to... See, this is going to be Rashi here. So all of a sudden Rashi went from the right to the left. I don't know why he did that.
Rashi is always inside. Closer to the middle of the book.
Closer than Tosfos, you think?
Like in the... In the scene.
I'm not sure exactly what you mean, Aaron. I don't know.
But in mine, when you turn the page, Rashi is these two.
Rashi.
And it's on the inside.
Oh, it's on the inside. I see what you're saying. Just one second. This is called the inside. What do you mean by the inside? It's closer to the binding or something like that. It's always closer to the binding. You hear what Aaron's saying? I didn't think of this. That Rashi is always closer to the binding. This is the binding.
Oh, I understand.
So that's good. That's a secret. So if you look at the second line of Rashi, he says, Kohanim shenitma'u. So the Kohen became Tomei, contracted Tumor. And Vitovlu, Tovlu is Miloshon, the noun is Tvila, which means to dip into the mikvah. Vitovlu is in the active past tense. So they were Tovil in the mikvah. Veheriv Shimshon, which means that the Shemesh, the sun set. And now, after the sun sets, Igia Itam, their time has come. Lechol b'truma. Now they could eat truma. So that's the earliest time that you could recite Kriya Treshel Arvis. Ad sof hashmura rishona, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, we'll give you up until the end of the first third of the night. The night is divided into three, and that's what Rashi says four lines down from the top. Shlish alayla, one third of the night. So, for example, if the night is made up of 12 hours, then what would be one third of the night? Well, let's say the night is made up of 9 hours, to make it a little easier for ourselves, right? So one third of the night would be 3 hours. So the first 3 hours of the night, let's say if nightfall would be, let's say, at 9 p.m., then you have up until midnight, according to Rabbi Eliezer. You got to finish Kriyat Shema about 3 hours later. But let's say, for example, in the winter time, it gets dark already earlier, right? Let's say it's six. So then if you had 3 hours, then you'll get to 9 o'clock. 9 p.m. is the latest time for Kriyat Shema. That's going to Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim Omrim, the rabbis say, Ad Chatzos, up until midnight. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Gamliel is the most lenient of them all, Ad Shiyala Amun HaShachar, until the morning star appears on the horizon. I have, by the way, in my phone, it's let me see if I'm right. Okay, I'm going to show you something. I don't know if you have this on your phones, but you can download it. It's something called Zmanim. You familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have that, Aaron? So if you take a look in Zmanim, okay, it'll take a minute for it to wake up. They'll tell you exactly when is Al Amud HaShachar. Okay. Okay.
Oh, like, yeah. What? Like
oh, you have it?
I have it.
Let me see what yours said.
So and you scroll down. It has all the times.
Oh, you have to scroll down. Okay, here it is. Excellent. See, Al Amud HaShachar 5:04. Take a look. Show it to Jackie. Yeah, I have
all
it.
The times you can
let me see what I have. I have something called Zmanim. It's the same idea.
Yeah, used that before, but
here's Zmanim.
I like the background.
Yeah.
Here's mine. You see? Take a look, Sam.
Yeah.
Look, you see mine? This is Gold's mine. So Al Amud HaShachar is the first one. That's 5:07.
It's a lot less distracting.
Now sunrise is at 6:21. Look at that. There's an hour and a quarter between Al Amud HaShachar and sunrise. Okay, so anyway, that's the latest time for Kriyat Shema. Now you remember the story here, Maisa, there was a story, Ubo Bono Bibes HaMishte. So the children of Rabbi Gamliel came back from a wedding. Amru Lo, so they turned to their father and they said, Father, Lo Karinu Es Shema, we haven't yet read Kriyat Shema. Amar Lehem, so he told them, Im Lo Allah Amud HaShachar, if the morning star hasn't risen on the horizon, so it's before 5:07, let's say in our particular day, is chayovim atem likros. You have to read Kriyat Shema. And velozu bilvad amru. He says not only that did they say el kol masha amru chachamim. Whenever the chacham say ad chatzot, up until midnight is mitzvatan ad sheyala amud hashachar. The mitzvah applies up until the morning star. And he gives a few examples. Hekter chalovim ve'varim. That means when you bring a karbon on the mizbeach and you burn the karbon, so there's certain parts of the karbon that will burn overnight. Those are called chalovim ve'varim, certain limbs and certain fats, is mitzvatan ad sheyala amud hashachar. You can keep putting them on the mizbeach and burning them until the morning star. And another example, kol ha'necholim liyom echad, those karbonot which you're allowed to eat the meat for a full day, is mitzvatan ad sheyala amud hashachar. So you can finish eating it until the beginning of, well, shall we say the end of that night, which is amud hashachar. Im kein, so you'll ask me, lama amru chacham ad chatzot. If I'm telling you that whenever the Chacham say up till midnight, it means to be even much later than midnight, another 5 hours. The answer is kidei larchik ha'adam min ha'avera. What they wanted to do is make sure you wouldn't get into a situation of getting too close to an avera. So what does larchik mean?
Distance.
To distance yourself, right? To just keep at a distance from an avera. So gentlemen, you're not asking me questions here. What I need you to ask me is, if you don't understand the word, to ask me which word. And now if you don't understand the single word, then I'm in deep trouble.
At the end of the Mishnah.
So gentlemen, could you tell me which word you didn't understand in the Mishnah before we start the Gemara?
Where are we exactly in the Mishnah? I've been just listening.
I just finished the Mishnah.
Oh, you just finished, okay.
Now, the Mishnah ends with two dots, and then it says Gemara. Gimel Mem is for Gemara.
So we're at Da'ar Bayit?
What I'm up to is Tana Hechakoi. Do you see that? Tana Hechakoi?
Oh.
That's where I got up to. So I want you to look over the Mishnah now. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. I'm going to, in the meantime, fill up my teacup. and tell me which words in the Mishnah you don't understand, and if and we'll just make sure that we know which, you know, all the words in the Mishnah.
Oh, he was starting the
Where's the two dots?
Right here before Gimel Mem. Which simple.
Now, I'm warning you, if you don't tell me which words you don't understand, then then you're telling me that you understand every word. Then I'm going to test you to see if you know every word. That was a joke, but nobody laughed. Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah, yeah,
I probably don't know 95%.
95% you don't understand. All right. So what do you suggest we do, Jackie? Because I had a request at the end of last week's class that we should move a little bit faster. So I'm caught in a bind if you tell me that you don't understand 95. Wait a second, Jackie. Do you know any Hebrew? I never even asked you that.
Kitzat.
Kitzat.
This is
un poco, as we say, right? Yeah.
Is this because the Mishnah is in Hebrew, correct?
Right. That's why I was hoping that you'd understand the Mishnah because it's in Hebrew. But if you only know Kitzat, then that explains the other 95%.
We only have one out of the three fastest, I think, Hebrew understanders within the group. So I feel as if today would be a good opportunity to slow down, actually.
Good.
If that's okay. If it's specific.
Okay. Should we take it from the top? So I'm going to take it from the top, but you guys have to slow me down. Me'ematai. Okay. When is the earliest? May Ematai. Can you write that down? When is the earliest? Do you want a separate piece of paper if I dig one up, or would you rather write it on the page itself?
The page itself is good.
Okay. Do you need a pen?
Got it.
You have a pen?
Yeah.
Okay. May Ematai. When is the earliest time? Korin to read.
Wait a minute. Where are we starting?
The Mishnah. The Mishnah starts with May Ematai. It's in a big box. Okay. Me'ematai, from when? Is the earliest time?
Right.
Korin means what?
To read.
To read. Et Shema. So we're talking about the Kriyat Shema. How many times a day do we read Shema?
Three?
No. Well, yes, maybe three. But actually, according to the Torah law, twice. Yeah. Then we add a third time, al amito, when we go to sleep in the bed. But the Torah requires twice. And that's based on a pasuk that says Bishalbecha uvkumecha, which I think is in Parshas Ekev, if I remember correctly. Anyway, Bishalbecha means when you go to sleep, and Bekumecha means when you wake up. So you want to write down those two words somewhere on the side of your page, Bishalbecha uvkumecha, because those are the two most important words in the Torah for our purpose. Now, what does Be'arvin mean? Now, if you look at the word Ba'arvin, there are three letters in the middle there that form the root of the word. That's Erev. Okay, we know what Erev means.
Yes.
So, the word Erev here in this Mishnah corresponds to Bishalbecha, when you go to sleep. And when you go to sleep really means during the nighttime, when most people are sleeping. So, after the word Be'arvin, you would actually put a question mark. Because Me'ematai opens a question, does it not?
Me'ematai opens a
question. Me'ematai, from when?
Yeah.
So if I'm asking you a question. So the answer to the question is Misha'ah, from the hour. Misha'ah, from the hour. Shakoanim. So Jackie, that should be familiar to you, right? It reminds me a little bit of your last name, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nichnasim. Nichnasim means they go in, likanes. Like you'll see, when you ever go into a building, they'll tell you where the knisa is, right? Where's the entranceway? Lechol, to eat from their truma. So Jackie, have you eaten truma lately?
I don't even know what truma is.
Okay, so let me tell you what truma is.
I know we talked a little bit about
when a Jew, when a Jew plants a field and he grows any of the five species of grains, and even fruits in the cases of grapes and olives, then he has to set aside, once he harvests his fruit, he has to set aside something called truma. And that's a gift to the Kohen. Now there are many different Kohen, and which Kohen should he choose? That's up to him. So that's why, Jackie, you have to be very friendly with us, because then when we as farmers, produce, we're gonna choose you as our favorite Kohen, and that's for truma. that the word truma literally means to lift, leharim, because when you set aside something as truma, you lift it up, so to speak. And now on a spiritual level, it means you lift it up to the sanctity of truma. Truma is sanctified. And that's probably why, Jackie, you never ate truma, because we're all in a state of tumah. Because when, let's say, we went to a funeral, or perhaps we visited a hospital and there were dead bodies there, whatever it is. You follow what I mean?
Yeah.
So even if you never fought in the Israeli army, you weren't lucky enough to be a chayal in Tzahal. You know what I'm talking about? Tzahal, you know what that means? Tzahal? In English, it's called the IDF. You heard of it?
Yeah, yeah.
The Israeli Defense Forces. So you're sitting in the presence of one of the great graduated members of the Israeli army. I actually did my army service over the course of 13 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I never killed anyone, though, so don't get excited.
Okay.
Yeah, they gave me a job after they saw how great I was at shooting things. They gave me a job as a lecturer in the army.
Well, they captured for 13 years. So
13 years. Well, it wasn't 13 full years. It was miluim. You know what miluim is? Gee, I don't know how to say that in English. How do you say miluim in English?
Reserves.
Reserves. Excellent. Reserves. So I was in basic training, and then I did a couple of weeks, and then they sent me home, and they said, we'll call you up for reserves, which they did for 13 years. Anyway, so that's called truma. Truma means someone who's in a state of purity, and he's a Kohen, so those are the two conditions. He can eat truma. If he's not a Kohen, or even if he is a Kohen, but he's Tomei, right, you want to write down the word Tomei, Tet Mem Aleph, which literally means he's contaminated, but again, that sounds like a medical term, contaminated. We're not talking about germs now. Nothing to do with germs. Although, in a sense, it's a little similar to germs, because tuma is contagious, meaning if somebody's Tomei and he touches you, it could be that you become Tomei. I don't know. So for that, you have to learn 1/6 of Mishnayos is called Taras, the laws of Tumah V'Tara. So again, you know, when the Mikdash shall be restored, B'mehera V'yomenu, then we're going to need to be Matar ourselves. Well, you know, and the Kohenim for sure will be at the front of the line there, because they want to get the Truma. Anyway, when a Kohen is Tumah, then he has to go through the day, then he goes to the Mikvah. And when he goes to the mikveh, that's called tovel. That's the Rashi here on the second line, v'tovlu. And then when the sun sets, then they can eat their truma, because now they're purified. So do you follow what goes on here? In the transition between tameh and tar, we need the sun to set. And after the sun sets, which is called harev shemesh, then they can eat the truma. So let me just go over that one more time. So in the process of purification, the Tomei, who's now impure, needs to wait till nightfall. And then he goes to the mikveh. He could go to mikveh before nightfall. But anyway, he needs to go to mikveh and he needs nightfall. And then he becomes tar, he becomes pure. Any questions so far? Did I go too fast, too slow?
He's just telling us when we should, the latest we should read the Shema.
The earliest, Me'ematai. Me'ematai, you have to write this down. Me'ematai means when's the earliest time. Later we're going to get to the latest time. But right now, the first question that the Mishnah addresses, when is the earliest time? So for example, can I recite Kriyat Shema now? What time is it?
No.
It is 5:35. No. Why? Because the sun hasn't set yet. So it's not yet Erev. And the Torah says, B'shal b'chol, when at the time people go to sleep, which is in the evening. And it's not yet evening. It's not yet evening. Okay? Now, you see the word Ad in the Mishnah? Underline the word Ad, because that's what I call a transitional word. We're no longer asking when is the earliest time for Kriyat Shema, but rather we're asking when is the latest time for Kriyat Shema. That's Ad. So basically the Mishnah is giving us bookends. What I mean by bookends, I mean the beginning and the end. There's a slice of time in which you can recite Kriyat Shema. The earliest time is identical with the time that the Kohanim come in to eat their Truma, which means after sunset. When is the latest time? Ad. So here we have three opinions. Maybe on the side you want to write down a summary of these three opinions. The first opinion is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer gives you up until the end of the first third of the night. So we can divide up the night into three thirds, and at the end of the first third, that's it, finito, curtains, too late for Kriyat Shema. Chachamim say we'll give you up until midnight. That's called Ad Chatzot. And then we have the third opinion, Rav Gamliel. He allows you Ad until Sheyale, it will go up, Amud HaShachar, the morning star. So that gives you, we looked it up on the calendar, up until 5 a.m. Any questions up till now?
So this,
we have Rabbi Eliezer. Let's go. We'll go according to order.
Okay.
Rabbi Eliezer is the first opinion. He's the most strict. Do you follow what I mean by the most strict?
Yeah.
Explain to me what I mean, because I don't know. When you say yeah, you know, you're just yesing me, and I don't believe you as far as you can throw an elephant. Yeah, just kidding. But seriously, what does it mean that he's the most strict of all opinions?
He gives the least time.
Excellent. He gives the least amount of time. You really have to be on your toes here, because so, you don't have a long time for Kriyat Shema.
And he's just until
till the end of the first third.
The first third
of the night. First third. You see the word sof? What does the word sof mean?
End.
End. Jackie, sof means
end.
End. Okay, you're just parroting it.
I knew that before, Sam.
So. You did know the word self?
Okay.
Okay, I don't know if you know the word self.
So we have Rav Eliezer's opinion, we have Rav Gamliel, and what's the third opinion?
Well, wait, before you get to Rav Gamliel, you skip the Chachamim. We don't want to skip over the rabbis. We like the rabbis, right? Especially those who live on Rechov Rabbi Meir. Anyway, so the rabbi said that we'll give you until midnight. So if you take the night time, instead of dividing into thirds, as Rabbi Eliezer would do, and give you up until the end of the first third, now we're going to divide it into two equal halves, as the British say, halves, and we're going to give you up until the end of the first half, which is midnight in our language. Okay, so you see that the belt is getting looser here. We're giving you more room. And then we have Rabbi Gamliel. He's the third opinion. And he's going to give you way past midnight. We looked it up in the Zmanim thing, and we came up with the 5 a.m. 5 a.m. Because that's called Yale Amud HaShachar. That's called Amud HaShachar. Something, again, if we had time, we would Google it, and we would Google Morning Star. Okay, there's something called a Morning Star. And that's even before sunrise. In fact, it's about an hour and a quarter before sunrise, a long time before sunrise. Now this takes us to the word maaseh. So again, that's a transitional word. So you want to underline or box the word maaseh. Do you see that word maaseh? Yes, no, maybe?
Maaseh, yeah.
Oh, maaseh.
Maaseh
means what?
Got it. From which hour?
No, maaseh means a story.
No.
Whenever you see the word maaseh, then the Mishnah is going to tell you a story. Do you like stories?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we love stories.
Yeah.
Ubo. What does ubo mean?
To come.
Excellent. They came. Ubo. They came. Banav. What does banav mean? What's a ben?
A son.
Banav is more than one son. Banav means his sons. Mibet, from the house of a mishteh, of a party. They came from the house of a party house, probably a wedding hall. Amru, what does Amru mean?
To say.
They said, lo, to him. Lo karinu et shema. We have not yet read the Kriyat Shema. They got so involved in the wedding that they hadn't gotten a chance to recite Kriyat Shema. Omar lahem. What do you think that means? Omar lahem.
His, they're saying?
Omar He said Lahem to them.
No, he said to them.
Right. Right? Amar Lahem. If Lo, not yet. Allah Amud HaShachar. The morning star has not yet appeared. Chayavim Atem Likros. What is Chayavim?
You're required.
Excellent. You're required, you're obligated to read. Again, we're talking about Ubishalbacha. We're talking about the night Kriya Shema, otherwise known as Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. And since the morning star has not yet appeared on the horizon, you are obligated to read it. Now, from this point until the end of the Mishnah, just to give you a little bit of a preview or an overview, what Rabbi Gamliel is going to tell them, he's going to inform his sons that whenever you see anywhere in any halachic source, any Mishnah or etc., and it says Ad Chatzot, you know those two words, up until midnight, then what it means is that you can go all the way up until Amud HaShachar, which we said is 5 hours later, till the morning star appears. So why did they say Ad Chatzot? And the answer is, those are the last 5 words of the Mishnah, which you want to underline, Kidei L'Archik Adam Min HaVera. What does that mean? Kidei L'Archik Adam Min HaVera. Kidei, so that. Kidei, so that. Leharchik, to keep a person far away. Adam means a person. Min from an avera. What's an avera?
A violation,
excellent. So in order to make sure that a person is far away from a violation, can you imagine if I tell you, you know, you have up until 5 in the morning to say Kriya Shema. So what are you going to do? Well, you got plenty of time. You take off your shoes, you put yourself in a couch, you turn on the television, you eat some brownies, and you have some hot chocolate or some ice cream, and before you know what happens, you fall asleep. Did that ever happen to you?
It's happened to me.
And sometimes the television is still blasting and you're asleep.
Yeah.
Okay? I have the distinction, I don't know if you know anyone who fits this bill, I can fall asleep standing until I fall. So I only go for a few seconds, then I catch myself. So what happens if you tell a guy, hey, you got up till 5 in the morning? He looks at his clock and it's 11:30, he's got 5.5 hours. Let me take my time. I want to watch the... you know, what are those shows that they call? They start at like 1 a.m., you know, talking.
Late shows.
And the late shows. You know, in the meantime, I fall asleep and I wake up, it's already 10 in the morning.
How did they tell the time at night during the time of the
Mishnah?
Of the Mishnah, yeah. I have no idea. Nice.
I don't know. What do you think?
The way that the stars were.
Maybe the formation of the
stars. The stars are.
The stars move throughout the night.
All right.
No, they don't. It's constellations. How do they move?
Yeah, they move throughout the night.
Where they,
now,
the sky stays in one. Everything in the sky stays in one place. And
but is it relative?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, last week I asked you the following question, and I'm going to ask it again. See if by chance you remember what we discussed last week. See how optimistic I am. Anyway. If I ask you Me'emasai, that's the opening question. What does Me'emasai mean?
From when?
From when. Yeah, from when. Meaning when's the earliest time. What am I assuming that you know? If I ask you from when, I tap you in the back in the middle of Times Square, you know, and I say to you, from when? You know, so what am I assuming?
That you know what event is taking place.
That you know that there's some enterprise here. So when is the earliest time for that enterprise? So that's the Gemara here. Tana Hechakai. So you want to underline those first three words. Tana Hechakai. Now the word Tana means the author of the Mishnah.
This isn't Hebrew now. This is,
no, this no, is, we're leaving right. Hebrew. Because as soon as you see the big G with the big M, you see the Gimel and the Mem, mm-hmm. then you're making a transition from Hebrew to what language? Do you know, Jackie?
Aramaic.
Excellent. Aramaic. I'm impressed. So we're now in Aramaic. So for example, you see the word Tana?
Yeah.
That word Tana will be found, how many times in Tanakh do you think the word Tana appears?
Thousands.
Zero. Does not once, because the Tanakh is written in Hebrew. Tana is an Aramaic word, so you won't find it even once in all of Tanakh. Mm. Tana means the author of a Mishnah. Excuse me. There are two major historical periods as far as learning Gemara is concerned in Jewish history. There's the period of the of the Tannaim, when the Mishnah was authored, and then we have what's called the Amoraim. Have you heard of that? That's a complicated word. So again, you know, we're trying to learn a lot in one session here, but if you could write the word Amoraim in some, you know, that's why I told you, you should really, okay, I know you've probably, you're feeling we're not going to be meeting that many times because it's almost the end of the year, but if it was the beginning of the year, I would insist that you had a notebook. You know, they have these notebooks with the three rings in it, you know, so you can turn pages and put in pages. That's what I would, because what I'm about to tell you now is like, should be in the introductory section, that there are two periods of Jewish history for our purposes. One is Tannaim, the Tana, and that's the period in which the Mishnah was written. Again, you have to keep in mind, the Mishnah was at the end of a long period of time that stretched over centuries and centuries. Until finally, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he authored the Mishnah. Anyone quoted in the Mishnah, by definition, is a Tana. Now, after the period of Tanoim ends, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi dies. He's the last of the Tanoim. So then we get to the period of the Amoraim. Do you want to write that down? Amoraim.
How do you spell it?
Write it in English in the meantime. Amoraim. A. A M. O. R. I M. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Amoraim.
Okay.
Now, the Amoraim are the authors of what? Not the Mishnah, but the Gemara. So now we're making a major transition in time. And the Amoraim are now asking Akasha Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, Hecha, where? Please write this down. Hecha means where? Kai, is he holding? Where is he holding? The Katani, because it says in our Mishnah, Me'emasai. From whence? Well, he must be attaching that question to something or other. Now, if the Mishnah is the oral Torah, then it is meant to expand the... Anybody can fill in the blanks? The written Torah. So what we're going to try to do now is we're going to try to find a verse in the written Torah, and then we're going to attach our Mishnah as the oral Torah to that verse in the Torah, in the written Torah. And now the Gemara, I'm sorry, the Mishnah is now going to be a takeoff on a verse in the Torah.
Doesn't tell you which verse?
We're about to get to it. We don't know yet. You know, I sort of spilled the beans, but you may remember I quoted a pasuk before, B'shal b'chav kumech, but you don't know that. We, the Gemara, doesn't know that yet. I just let you know up front. So the first question of this Gemara, please summarize this, is called Tana Hechakoi. The Tana of our Mishnah, where is he holding? Maybe where is he coming off from? You follow what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say, for example, you were in an ocean, and there are many little islands in the ocean, and you find a boat. You locate a boat. You know, today there are many different ways of locating a boat that's sailing in the sea. And you might ask, from which island did this boat embark? So now we're asking, from which verse in the written Torah did our Mishnah embark? Pisu, what does Pisu mean? Visu means, again, it's an Aramaic word, and furthermore. Visu, and furthermore, meaning above and beyond that, I want to ask you another question. I'm not only perplexed by finding the island from which this Tana embarked, I'm also perplexed at something else. And in order to appreciate the second question, the furthermore question, the Visu question, I'm going to ask you the following. When does the day begin? Does the day begin after sunrise, or does the day begin after sunset? What would you say? I'm not asking a rocket scientist question. I'm asking a very simple question. If I were to ask you, when does the day begin chronologically in sequence? Do we begin with daybreak, or do we begin with sunset? What would you say?
According to halakha?
No. I'm asking you for your own general intuitive answer.
Daybreak,
right? You start with sunrise and then you end with sunset. So now you're telling me that Kriyat Shema has to be read, has to be recited twice a day, once during the day and once at night. So why didn't the Mishnah begin with the Kriyat Shema during the day? The Gemara thinks it's very odd that the Mishnah begins with Kriyat Shema at night. That's the Visu. Okay, so you're up to Visu. Does everybody have the place?
No.
Where? So let's see if you can find the word Visu. Sam, you want to help out Jackie a little bit where the word Visu is?
Visu me'eshna.
Maishna. Yeah, Maishna. Now, Maishna means, why did he do it this different sort of way? Maishna, why did he change it? Meaning, you know, this is like a change, a curveball that we didn't anticipate. Ditani, that it says in the Mishnah, because again, keep in mind that the Tana is the author of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah itself, Ditani, he writes in the Mishnah, Bi'arvis, Beresha means first. Why does the Tana now Mishnah begin with Arvis? Listening, it would have been more logical to write the Shachris Beresha. Shachris should have come first. In other words, what the Gemara is asking is, it shouldn't have said Me'emas Haikorin Eshma B'Arvin, it should have said Me'emas Haikorin Eshma B'Shachris. And now the Gemara is going to try to answer both of these questions with one fell swoop. Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, Akra Kod. Now here you have to underline the word Kra. The Aleph is only added as a conjugation. On. The Aleph means on. And Kra is the Aramaic word for a verse in the Torah. So you're going to have to write down in your dictionary Kuf Resh Aleph. Kuf Resh Aleph Kra equals a verse, otherwise known as a pasuk, in the written Torah. Tana Akra Koi. What does the word Koi mean? Who remembers what the word Koi means? We had it just two lines ago.
Standing.
Excellent. I'm happy. You made my day. Sam, you made my day. I owe you something. I don't know what. Anyway. So the Tana is standing or holding Akra on the pasuk. You know, when I say he's standing or holding, I don't mean he's literally holding a pasuk in his hand, but that's where he's up to. He's up to this pasuk, this verse. Dichtiv, as it says, as it's written, Bishambacha uvekumecha, when he goes to sleep and when he wakes up. Do you see which came first in the pasuk? Which came first, when he wakes up, then in the day, or when he goes to sleep at night? Which is written first in the verse? Bishavacha. Bishavacha means when he goes to sleep. So we wanna follow the pattern of the verse. And if the verse starts with the Kriyat Shema of going to sleep, then we can also start with the Amosai. And what is the earliest time for the Kriyat Shema of the evening? So let me borrow the art scroll from you, and I'm just going to quickly read through the art scroll. And you'll tell me if this translation makes sense based on what we've done. Okay then?
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a good review. Listen carefully. From when may we fulfill the obligation to recite the Shema in the evenings? From the time that the Kohanim who were Tomei means they contracted Tumah, which is contamination, may enter to eat their Truma at nightfall. And one may recite the Shema up until the end of the first watch. And the night is divided into three watches. These are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. But the sages say it may be recited until midnight. Rabbi Gamliel says it may be recited until the light of dawn arises. Okay, as a footnote here. Okay. What does it mean, the light of dawn? So he says that Alot HaShachar is 22 minutes before sunrise. So he claims here that there's already a spread of light on the eastern horizon, and that's what it means. Okay. Let's go on. It once happened that Rabbi Gamliel's sons came home after midnight from a banquet. Okay, let's see if he tells you what this banquet was. Okay. Oh, it refers to a wedding. Okay. Amrullah, they said to Rabbi Gamliel, we have not yet recited the Shema. May we recite it now? He said to them, if the light of dawn has not yet risen, you are obligated to recite the Shema. And it is not only in this case that the sages said until midnight, when in truth, according to biblical law, you're allowed to extend that time period until dawn. Rather, whatever mitzvah the sages say to be performed until midnight, the time for the mitzvah actually extends until the light of dawn. In the case of burning of the sacrificial fats and limbs, the time of the mitzvah extends until the light of dawn arises. And so too all the sacrifices that may be eaten for one day, the time of the mitzvah actually extends until the light of dawn. So if so, why did the sages say regarding these mitzvahs they should perform until midnight? In order to distance a person from sin. Now we get to the Gemara. To what is the Tana of our Mishnah referring? That he asks from when we fulfill the obligation to recite the Shema in the evening. The Tana's inquiry concerning this time for recite the Shema presupposes the existence of an obligation to recite the Shema. Where is this obligation taught? And furthermore, why does the Tana teach the law regarding the Shema of the evening first? Let him teach the law regarding the Shema of the morning first. The Gemara answers, the Tana refers to the verse in the Torah that teaches the obligation of reciting the Shema twice daily. It is written, and you shall speak of these matters when you lie down and when you arise. He has a footnote here that tells you to look in Deuteronomy, that's by Yikra, Perek 6. So again, the verse says, and you shall lie down and when you arise. And this is what the Mishnah is saying. The time for reciting the Shema of lying down is from the time that the Kohanim who are Tomei may enter to eat their Truma. So since the Tana's point of reference is the verse that teaches the obligation to recite the Shema, and that verse specifies the obligation first for lying down and then for arising, the Tana follows the same order, the same sequence. Was that a good review? I think pretty much we covered whatever was here. Now let's go on. Okay, we still have a few more minutes, and it's partially my fault because we started late. I didn't have the Gemara, so you'll tell me if you have to leave. Don't feel embarrassed. We hate to see you go. Okay. Now you have to find the place. So I need you all to work, you know, together to find the place. We're up to V'i Bayis Ema. See if you can find those words. The first word in the line is Nichnasim, and if you see the word Gemara, the Gimel Mem, you're counting down from the Gemara 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down. And you'll see that the first word in the line on the right is Nichnasim. Do you find such a line? Okay, you shoot across the line to the word Ve'i, which is the fourth word in that line. You have it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now we have a phrase that repeats itself over and over again throughout all of Shas, all the Gemara. Ve'i bois ema. Ve'i, and if you'd like, bois, I can tell you, ema, I can tell you the following. It means, ve'i bois ema means I'll give you another answer. So whenever the Gemara wants to offer a second or an alternative answer, it says Ve'i bois ema. And if you'd like, I'll tell you the following. Oh, now we get to a difficult word. Yalif. Now Yalif is a verb, the noun of which is Yalfusa. Yalfusa is a derivation. Yalif means to derive. Mi briaso, the creation, shall olam of the world. In other words, you want to ask, why does the Mishnah start with the nighttime and then goes on to the daytime? That's later in a different Mishnah. Because the Mishnah is following the pattern of creation. Dichtiv, because the pasuk, the verse testifies, Vayehi Erev, it was night, Vayehi Boker, and then it was day, Yom Echad, the first day. Now that pasuk will repeat itself 7 times for each one of the days. It'll always start with which part of the day?
Evening.
The evening. Vayerev, and then Vayehi Boker. So the Torah itself, in describing God's creation, starts with nighttime, and then it goes on to daytime. Therefore, our Mishnah, following the leader, following the pattern of the Torah, is going to start with the Kriyat Shema of nighttime, and then proceed to the Kriyat Shema of daytime. And now we're up to E Hachi. So now I have to know if you find the place E Hachi. If you found it, you're going to tell me what's the first word of the line. And then I'll know you found the place.
Boker?
Boker. You have it? So the fourth word in that line that starts with Boker is E. E means if. Hachi. Hachi means the way you told me. E hachi, if it's the way you told me, then I have a problem. So whenever the Gemara makes a statement to explain something, and now the Gemara wants to raise an objection, that objection is going to open up with the words E hachi. If that is so, then. Seifa. Well, that's an important word. Seifa means the latter part of whatever, of a Mishnah or any other text. Seifa, dikatani, you may remember this word, we had it at the beginning, dikatani, it is written in the Mishnah, in this case in the Seifa, which is the end of the Mishnah. Now, notice that this part of the Mishnah that we're about to quote is not here on our page, because the Gemara wedges in many pages here to embellish and analyze our Mishnah before it gives you the next Mishnah, or really more accurately the end of this Mishnah. So this Mishnah, we're only seeing part of the Mishnah here. But what does it say in the Sefer? Quote, B'shachar, in the morning, Mivarech shtayim lefaneh u'shtayim lachreh. So later on, if one of you gentlemen will get me a sitter, which I have over there, I'll be able to show you what the Mishnah says. Excellent, perfect. Here, if you'll take a look at Kriyat Shema in the morning, and you'll see something interesting. Before Kriyat Shema, which is here on page 90 in this particular siddur, there are two brachot, two blessings. One blessing starts here on page 84. And that blessing is a very long blessing. It's called Yotzer HaMa'oros. And that ends all the way on page 88. I don't know, have you ever recited this?
Probably.
But,
I don't know.
But I'm saying, if you never recite it, it's worthwhile reading it. I have the English translation if you want to borrow it. Okay, that's the first blessing. Now we get to the second blessing. The second blessing is called Ava Rabba. And after the second blessing, which ends with Baruch Atah Hashem Abocher V'Amo Yisrael B'Ava, then we're ready for Kriyat Shema. So how many brachot do we have?
Two.
Two.
These are the blessings before the Shema.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you're familiar with that?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't tell me.
Somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we're finished with Kriyat Shema. Another two blessings. Right? The first blessing starts with the Yatziv on page 94, and that concludes. One second. Did I mess up here? Maybe I messed up. There's only one blessing. Just one second. With Baruch Atah Hashem Gol Yisrael. So what does it say? Yeshtayim Lefaneha. Let's read it inside. Oh, the Achas Lachreha. There's only one afterwards. So you have two brachot before Kriyat Shema and one after Kriyat Shema. Uba Erev. But when we get to the evening, is Mevarach Shtayim Lefaneha, two before the Kriyat Shema, V'Shtayim Lachreha, and two after Kriyat Shema. So let's fast forward to Arvit, to Ma'ariv, and let's count it up. This is on page 256. So we have the first bracha, which is called Ma'ariv Aravim, in which we thank God for the stars and for the night and the whole celestial spheres. And that ends with Baruch Atah Hashem, Ha'ma'ariv Aravim. Then we have Avat Olam, which is a little bit similar to what we had in the morning. There we had Ava Rabba, here it says Avat Olam. And that ends with Baruch Atah Hashem, Ohev Amo Yisrael. So those are the two before. But now, guess what? When we finish Kriyat Shema, we have two more brachot after Kriyat Shema. One is called Emunah, and that ends with Baruch Atah Hashem, Gal Yisrael. And then we have Ashkivenu, which ends with Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad. So again, let's go over this one more time. In Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis, we have two brachos before and one bracha after. In Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, we have two brachos before and two brachos after. Now, in the sequence of the Mishnah, which Kriyat Shema does the Mishnah begin with? The day Kriyat Shema or the night Kriyat Shema?
The night Kriyat Shema.
No. You're in our Mishnah. But in the Sefer, which is calculating brachot, look inside. He starts by saying the following: B'shachar, in the morning, Mevarech Shtayim Lefaneo, V'Achas Lachreo, U'Be'erev, Mevarech Shtayim Lefaneo, Shtayim Lachreo. So which Kriyat Shema came first in the sequence? No, nobody's following me.
No.
Okay. This Mishnah that we're learning ends with the following. You won't see it here on this page because it's public, okay. but the Gemara is quoting what's published on a different page, okay. And it calculates how many brachot come before Kriyat Shema and how many come after Kriyat Shema. Now listen carefully to the order, because I'm going to test you. Okay, it says the following: in the morning you recite two brachot before Kriyat Shema and one bracha after Kriyat Shema. In the evening you recite two brachot before Kriyat Shema and two brachot after Kriyat Shema. Which Kriyat Shema did the Mishnah begin with?
The morning.
I don't know why I'm not... if I do a breakdance, would it help? You know, my breakdance is really very sophisticated. You know, when I was your age, it was the limbo, you know. You probably never heard of it.
It must, by deduction, it must be the morning, but I just don't understand.
Again, I'm going to say over the Mishnah one more time, and after that I'm throwing in the towel, and I've given up with you guys. You just... Okay?
I don't understand what the number of blessings have to do with.
No, I'm asking you, which Kriyat Shema is the Mishnah analyzing first? Listen carefully to the language of the Mishnah. I'm going to give it to you in English.
Okay.
It says, in the morning Kriyat Shema, you recite two brachot before Kriyat Shema, one brachot after Kriyat Shema. In the night Kriyat Shema, you begin with two brachot and you end with another two brachot. Which Kriyat Shema did the Mishnah begin with?
It should be struggled before.
Say, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't throw the towel. I have to push myself. In the morning... Right, there are two Kriyat Shemas, one in the morning, one in the evening. Listen carefully. The Mishnah says in the morning you recite X, and in the evening you recite Y.
Yeah.
Which did you start with? The morning or the afternoon? The morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we just finished saying that we're going to start the Mishnah, the pattern of the Mishnah, the literary style of the Mishnah, which patterns after the verse in the Torah, is to start with the night Kriyat Shema. Right? What's our Mishnah? Meimah Sa'ikor Nishma B'Arvin. When's the earliest time for the night Kriyat Shema? Because it says that God created the world by Erev, by Voker. He started with the night. But yet, the Sefer, meaning the next part of the Mishnah, which is not published on this page, but don't get upset about that. There, when he talks about how many brachot you recite before and after Kriyat Shema, he starts by setting up the rules for Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar, meaning the morning Kriyat Shema. Is there some sort of inconsistency here?
No, but I don't understand why when we said in the morning it wasn't the Seder. I don't get it. It's just something that we missed in terms of.
Well, if you said in the morning, then you gave me the right answer, but I didn't hear it. I kept repeating the question over and over.
Okay.
But is he implying the order in our Mishnah that we don't have here?
Yeah, the order of our Mishnah is you start night and then you go day, and the order of the next Mishnah, for some strange reason, you start day and then you go to night. That's called an inconsistency. Are you familiar with that word, inconsistency?
Yeah.
In other words, be consistent. If you tell me, well, that God created the night first and then day, and therefore our Mishnah starts with the night Kriyat Shema, why does the Sefer, the next part of our Mishnah, start with the day Kriyat Shema? It should have said, the night Kriyat Shema requires two brachot before, two brachot after, the day Kriyat Shema, two brachot before, but only one bracha after, and then we would be consistent, we'd all be happy.
Because the Tanayim are not Hashem? Is that the answer to this question?
I think
that would make sense to me. That they're starting the Mishnah in the improper order because it's nothing to do with the Rishis.
But again, so then what? So why does that Mishnah start with the night Kriyat Shema? You know, you've got to find some explanation for the our Mishnah at the beginning starts with the night, and then the next Mishnah, which is the Sefer of our Mishnah, starts with the day. There's got to be some logical reason for that. You know, Rav Yehuda Nosi was a great genius. You know, we're not talking about stupid people.
Okay.
So now I want to know if you have the place. We're up to Tana. Now the first word in the line, I'm going to ask you to see if you could find. But we're up to the phrase Tana Pasach B'Arvis. Can you identify that?
Darvit.
Yeah, Darvit Bereisha. You see that? Right? So Tana Pasach B'Arvis. Our Tana opens up with Arvis. V'Hadar. Okay, this word you have to write down. V'Hadar. And then Tani, he writes B'Shachris.
Hadar means then?
Hadar means following, right? Vahadar and following. You can tell me what Art Scroll says Vahadar, how he translates. But I'd say it means following. Tana B'Shachris. Adakoi B'Shachris. Now, our Mishnah tells you when is the earliest time for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. Then it goes on and tells you when is the earliest Kriyat Shema time for Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. Where is the Mishnah up to now? Shachris, right? Mm-hmm. So once the Mishnah picks up Shachris, then he continues with Shachris. Now that I've told you when is the earliest time for Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris, now I'm going to tell you how many brachot you're going to recite attached to Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. Parish, he explains. Okay, you want to write that down? Parish means he explains. Merely the things, meaning the relevant things, this Shachris, relevant to Shachris. V'hadar, and then afterwards, Parashi explains merely the things, or the laws, of Arvis. Are you familiar with this? A-B-B-A? Have you ever heard of that?
Abba?
No.
No.
No. That's a musical group, but I'm not talking about that.
Wrong class.
Yeah. What's A-B-B-A? It means the following. If I present A, then I present B, what do I do now? I have something to add to both A and B. What should I pick up now? Two possibilities. I could do A, B, A, B, which would be a mirror image, or I could do A, B, B, A. So in the second part, I'm going backwards. I'm going up the ladder instead of down the ladder. What would be the reason in literary science to do A, B, B, A?
Because you just referred to A, so it would make sense to maybe refer it.
You started with A, then you went to B. Now you have to make two comments, one for A, one for B. Should you start by commenting on A? What would be the advantage of starting with B? That's called A, B, B, A. Why would I do it in the reverse?
Because you just talked from B.
Exactly. Your mind is preoccupied with B. So it's sort of comfortable for the human mind. This is like a psychological principle, that once you picked up B, and your mind is holding in B to say something else about B. So it goes like this. When is the earliest time for Kriyat Shema Arvus? When is the earliest time for Kriyat Shema Shachris? Now I want to tell you about the brachot. The brachot that come before Kriyat Shema and the brachot that come after Kriyat Shema. I can now go back to Arvus. That would be A, B, A, B. Or I could say, wait a minute, the last thing I told you was when's the earliest time for Shachris? Ah. Let's hang in there. Now that you're holding in Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris, and you've already learned that the earliest time for Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris is, you know, daybreak. Now I'm going to tell you that Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris requires two brachas before and one bracha after. Then I'm going to go back to Kriyat Shema Shel Arvus. That's called A B B A. You want to write that down, or you'll remember? So this, my friends, is more or less a review of what we did last time, but we did it much slower and much more carefully. Mm-hmm. Now what you'll notice, and this is for next time, is that there are two dots. Mm-hmm. I guess you'd call it a colon, am I right? Mm-hmm. And what a colon means is that we end the paragraph. In computer terms, we would say you press the return button. But here in the Gemara that we have, which was published in the city of Vilna about 150 years ago, they decided that instead of starting on a new line, like the return button, they're going to just add a colon. So what we're up to, who can tell me what the next two words are that we'll pick up Pauline had the next time?
Omar Mar.
Omar Mar. You see that?
Omar
Mar.
Yeah.
So that's where we want to start in Mirtz Hashem next time. Are you gentlemen still around next Monday? Do I anticipate a gathering?
I am actually not, because all my family's coming to